With one full week of basketball in the books, there isn't a better time to plunder. Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast, a sports ethos presentation hosted by yours truly, Aaron Brewski, solo edition. Shout out to FSWA Hall of Famer Steve Dr. Alexander, taking the day off for some medical. I might be hacking a little bit myself, but I'm going to push through it. And welcome on Twitter. Hello, everybody, and folks on YouTube. And if you're on Twitter and you want to get some questions in for the end of the show, head on over to YouTube. You can get questions answered there. And also, our premium members, get on over to Discord. And we actually do have a free Discord version as well. The link is in the show notes, but our premium members will get preferential treatment. Yeah, preferential treatment. And get their questions answered first. And some quick show notes, the schedule for the show, if you haven't caught us in about a week or so. We're going to be going early mornings, or not early, but 9:30-ish around Pacific time, and do that every day except for Thursday when we're recording on Wednesday night. Sports Ethos After Dark with Rick Kamla and Dr. A are going Wednesday night. And then seven shows per week. We'll have a weekend show, and that will get us caught up on the scheduling front. And before we get into a ton of information, all right, I'm kind of burying the lead here. I kind of want to just scream, Mogmo! Wanted to do that so bad. We have a ton of basketball information here for you guys. There's a ton of things that happened over the last week. We got tons of ads, drops, things going on. So I can't wait to get into the meats and potatoes of this show. But before I do that, let's quickly shout out our sponsor, basketball fans. It's that time of year again. The NBA is back from opening tip-off to buzzer beaters. BetOnline has you covered with the best odds, biggest promos, live in-game betting on all of your favorite teams. And this season, you wouldn't believe it, every game matters. BetOnline has every stat, matchup, breakdown, and live odds to bet on during the game. It's not just the NBA. BetOnline has odds on everything from football, MLB playoffs, NHL, and political props. Head to the website today to get on the action with America's most trusted site for online wagering, BetOnline. The game starts here. Okay, so clearly I'm excited about Mogbo. We'll talk about him in a second. What I want to do is I want to go backwards in time until we don't have anything else to cover because there has been a week of NBA basketball and each game has had its own something or other going on and everybody has played over the course of the weekend except for two teams, the Knicks and somebody else, the Jazz, who played last Friday. So they haven't had any sort of recent action, but we'll go through all of these games and just sort of pick and get at all of the great fantasy value that you guys can get at now. Starting with last night's game, Clippers and Warriors, the big news coming out of that one is Stephen Curry got injured. And right now, I think the news is basically sitting on at least a week with his ankle sprain, if not two or three. The fact that he was walking, sort of, he kind of hobbled into the tunnel toward the end there. But the fact that he was able to kind of stretch that ankle out and he was doing it with the bands on the bench, that tells me it's not incredibly serious. Now, they're going to do the MRI and they're going to get in there and figure out what's what. And they might just figure out that there's some sort of soft tissue stuff, you know, relating to past issues with that ankle that they're just going to be safe about. I don't think they're pushing him into action any point in time soon. So the question that popped up in my mind for this was, are we going to see DeAnthony Melton get increased, you know, by the Warriors? Are they going to give him more minutes? I wonder if his back injury coming out of preseason has been one of the more limiting factors for him. 8 points, one block, two threes in 17 minutes. I believe that was an improvement over the prior stat line. He's been the guy that hasn't come out of the gate strong for Golden State. The guy that has come out of the gate strong for Golden State's been Buddy Hield. Nothing extraordinary in his last stat line. 8 points, three of 14 shooting. So real bad there. 1 of 9 from deep, six boards, but he got you a steal and a block and he's been very active in the box score so far. And it's kind of funny, Buddy just survives. Like whether it was to the Indiana Pacers, he just survived. You know, he didn't survive Philly, but at the very last game of their season, they put him in and he was actually pretty good. And so he kind of survived in that respect. But he is a 3-point shooter on a team that is dying to shoot threes. So I think Buddy Hield is probably the big winner of the who's going to be, you know, valuable out of the conglomerate of guys that they brought in this season. Maybe more valuable than Pajemski, actually, who had another bad night, 4 points, five boards, four assists, 2 of 8 shooting. I don't think Pajemski is going to be bad this season from a reality basketball perspective. He might be a little confused with the new role, because every time you can see he wants to jack a three because the coaches are telling him to, but his basketball mind is saying pump fake and get into the lane and create havoc. He's probably dealing with some AB choices that aren't coming out correctly for him. So I think he will be better, but I think the big winner, other than Andrew Wiggins, by the way, who was available so late in drafts, 29 points in this last one, a steal and a block, 2 of 3 from the foul line, 5 of 8 from three, 11 of 15 overall. Wiggins has been completely underdrafted. I think people didn't really weigh the impact of last year's personal off the court issues. And again, all of the Warriors media, everybody involved in his universe has been supportive of him. That was a sign that it wasn't something else. And with his father passing, there was an opportunity, I think, for him to kind of get past some stuff. His numbers last year just didn't make any sense. So I think he's sort of independent of this situation here with Steph Curry. He will be asked to score more with Steph out, but he was going to be their number two scorer, I think, no matter what. And I think coming off of just two some odd seasons since really dominating the NBA finals, this is a very good basketball player, and he should not have been getting drafted in the 150s. I'm not saying that Andrew Wiggins is a top 50 guy. He could be a top 75 guy if he just stays on the floor. But Wiggins in his own silo, this Steph injury news, I think it's a question of whether it's Melton or Pajemski, or maybe Buddy Hield, even that he becomes just so good that he's in a must own, even must start status during these next couple weeks. It'll be interesting to see, because again, Steph is the engine of this offense. If he's not there, it could get ugly in the duration. But if they play well, if teams take them lightly, it could also just be the fact that these guys all collectively get a level up, and then we'll just see which of the guys actually gets the best level up. Right now, I have them ordered Hield, Pajemski, and then Melton, because we need to see something out of Melton at this point. We need to see that he's healthy, mostly. Kyle Anderson, just 4 minutes. I thought that was kind of interesting there. On the other side of the box, it's all gravy right now. James Harden at 23 and 11, 6 of 19. You don't like that. 9 of 9 from the foul line. You do like that. 2 of 12 from 3-point. Harden, I think, is just going to cruise along, and I think it's just going to be the efficiency question as to whether he can finish with a late first round or a early second round, or does he even slide into like late second with whatever happens this season. I think it's the efficiency that's going to really determine whether or not he was a winning pick on draft day. Then Zubac, 23 and 18, 6 assists. I mean, just a full stat line, two steals, 1 block. That is outstanding. And folks are already victory lapping Zubac, and I'm kind of good with it. I mean, I don't know if we were ahead on Zubac. I don't know if people were more ahead. It felt like I didn't get a lot of Zubac on my team. I think in the leagues that I drafted in, the two center thing really took him off the board before I was able to get in there and get my hands there. But the value is going to be there, especially if he's playing this many minutes. In the past, playing him this many minutes meant some defensive issues. I don't know if LA cares about those at this point in time. So it's all systems go. And I'm not sure I would be selling high. Yeah, I could see selling high after a line like this, so it's not off the table. But the question is, Zubac going to keep doing this? Yeah, probably he's going to be a top 75 guy sort of at minimum. And if he can play all season, he's probably going to finish in the top 50. So that in of itself, I do think, is worth a victory lap if you were able to take Zubac. Elsewhere in that box, Chris Dunn has my attention. 6 points, 9 boards, 4 assists, 4 steals. 28 minutes there. He's just kind of a guy that slides underneath the radar. He was available in a ton of deep competitive leagues. If you're looking for a guard right now, I know the league is pretty guard heavy. You can look at him and probably get some mileage out of him in a pinch. And then, of course, Norm, 20 points. This was more of a quiet line for Norm. But in the prior game, he went off. I forget the total. I think it was like 30-plus points that Powell got it done. And this is going to be the story with him. He's going to balance some thin lines like this one with just a block and a board and 2 threes. That's it. He's going to balance those with the bigger, heftier lines. Terrence Mann, 2 points, not much cooking there. I don't think Mann is going to be able to make it because he's already got the best he can get in terms of a situation right now, and he's not really taking off with it. So I think that's it for that box. We'll move on here to, our next game on the radar here. Philly and Indy was a great game. Andre Drummond, 9 points, 17 boards, 2 steals, 1 block. He was impressive, and I haven't said that about Andre Drummond in a long time. How sustainable this stuff is anybody's question. I wonder if Joel Embiid was watching on the sideline saying, hey, that guy's going to take my job. Kidding, I think. I think I'm kidding. But Drummond out on the perimeter, he's in probably better shape than I've seen him in, say, the last couple years, 2-3 years. He was out there thieving. Stealing the ball. He picked Halley so clean, and I forget who he picked earlier in the game, but it was impressive out there on the perimeter, just stealing the ball from guards. As long as Joel Embiid's out, you guys know the story there, but he just might be better than people gave him credit for. Tyrese Maxey, 45 points, and he had his good game without the crew, and I think people have been sort of questioning that. Real good defensively in that game, just a monster stat line. Just waiting for the news on Paul George here and Embiid. And these guys are out there shooting around during games. They feel like they're close. I wonder if some of what the league has done to bring pressure to bear on these situations is an interesting one, because I actually think that Philly has a case to be made to not play their guys. You know, there's like a self-preservation case that they can make. But the NBA getting involved is sort of like, hey, you know, we don't want this like full-time rest schedule to be a thing. And then that brings me to the next question, is are they going to investigate Kawhi Leonard for any of the 5 million things going on there? I don't think there's anything else worth talking about in Philly right now. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but Indy, for their sake, the Halliburton question is interesting because the stat lines haven't been that bad. I mean, they haven't been great. I think if you spent your first round pick on Halliburton, you have actually, you're a little pissed off about certain things. I'm not too worried about it. I think, though, it is interesting that Andrew Nembhard had 8 assists in this last game. Pascal Siakam had 6 assists. Halliburton had 2. I think that both the Sixers and the New York Knicks prior to that do have players that can bother a guy like Halliburton. But there are a lot of players in the NBA, period, that can bother a guy like Halliburton. What Halliburton does is he kind of hits you in waves. And with the up-tempo play, wherever he's playing and just sort of picking apart the game, not even the defense, just picking apart the game itself and getting, they feel cheap. They're not cheap because he's out there earning them, but like cheap assists, cheap points, you know, going on a 5 3-pointer run, you know, and then that ending up being an amazing stat line. I think the Tyrese Halliburton experience is sort of like that. And when he goes through these funks, he loses his confidence, like flat out. In last night's game, not only did Andre Drummond picked him, and then in the kind of boneheaded decision by Caleb Martin to foul up 2 with like 9 seconds to go or whatever, big, huge moment for Halliburton to go to the line and drill a couple free throws, and he bricked the first one. And so I think he's in his own head right now, and I wonder if the fact that Nembhard is pretty damn good, like he can handle, he's got strength, you know, and against aggressive defensive coverage, which is the kind of coverage that Halliburton gets, Nembhard's pretty effective. So I wonder if he and the team themselves, especially with Siakam getting there, might be kind of not pushing back per se, but you know, if Halliburton isn't the outright best option, then maybe his assist totals do come down. Now, this I think is still a massive buy low moment for Tyrese Halliburton, and you got to just get in on that. This 3 games into the season, you know, declarations about players and such, that's how you lose fantasy leagues. So I would be trying to get Halliburton everywhere I can, because again, he comes at you in waves, and those waves are massive. So like a wave for Halliburton is 10 plus assists. It's 5 threes in a game. It's a massive stat line with good efficiency. So this stuff, don't drop during the dip, buy the dip. With Tyrese Halliburton, I don't know that there's anything else catching my eye in this stat line. But keeping my eye on Isaiah Jackson to see if he can get the backup minutes in. Indy had just 6 minutes, but he is coming back from a hamstring injury. And if this stuff happened in, say, February, you would just be putting him on your bench and not worrying about it. Not sure that this is declarative of his value, but it's something that I am watching. And I did end up dropping a lot of my Isaiah Jackson shares for one Jonathan Mogbo, over the weekend. We'll talk about that at some point in time here. Let's move on and let's see possibly what that next game might be. Oh, it's not that game. That's for sure. It's Milwaukee versus Brooklyn. Milwaukee is settling in quite like we would have expected to, so I'm probably not going to spend a ton of time here. We've got Giannis with a nice start, Lillard with, I think, a nice-ish start. You know, everything's sort of working out as you would expect in Milwaukee. Nothing to report in Milwaukee. Nothing to report there. We got to save time on some of these teams, so we'll push through right there. Brooklyn, Schroeder, and Cam Thomas. Schroeder, I wished I had gotten more of Schroeder. I feel like his name value sort of carried him when people's faith might not have been there. I actually had the faith. I just had higher ranked players that I felt could help the team more. So I wasn't able to get any Schroeder. 29.6 assists, 1 steal, 5 threes, 8 of 8 from the foul line. I just think he's the leadership guy that they're going to rely on and the guy that can actually do things. So I think he's going to be along with Cam Thomas, who's gone nuclear to start the season and making the Cam Thomas crowd extraordinarily happy. Shout out Dr. A. 32 points for Cam Thomas, 5 boards, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 threes, 10 of 11 from the foul line. If you get this version of Cam Thomas all year long, he's a top 50 guy. Easy. If you get, that version of him for the entire season, you will have easily won the bet. It's just the question of the day. What's up with the last third of the season? And can they tank with Cam Thomas on the floor? Jalen Wilson watch, I think, after the big 30-minute game has sort of simmered down. He had just 14 minutes. Clowney, 21 minutes, 13 points in an empty stat line, 3 triples, 4 boards, but no steals or blocks. So the Clowney moment hasn't hit yet. And it's kind of questionable whether it will hit. I think we all want it to hit. I didn't get any Clowney anywhere this year, and we'll just kind of see how this all plays out. Claxton, 10 and 11 with 2 blocks off the bench in 22 minutes. So even if the minutes aren't great, the numbers are at least coming, and that's a little bit of a silver lining there for what would be kind of an underwhelming start. New Orleans and Portland, we had Zion in the game. I don't think Zion's winning people over at this rate. 14 points, 4 assists, 1 block. Pretty inefficient. 8 of 10 from the foul line is actually good, but 3 of 12 from the field. Again, not winning but anybody over with these lines. Brandon Ingram's quasi-hot start slowed down a little bit. I mean, they lost in Portland. That's the big thing there. Yeah, they don't have DeJounte Murray. Yeah, they've got question marks surrounding the franchise. Portland is more or less tanking. I think they fielded a good squad last night with good effort. So maybe not the most surprising loss for New Orleans, but nonetheless, New Orleans at 2-1, they can survive this kind of a hit, but they can't survive that many hits before the ship starts turning south there. Daniel, I heard an enunciation from the intrepid Portland squad. It was Tice. So I don't know if Tice is in play anymore. I'm sure Andre can tell me, and I'm sure he's got 5 million notes for me in the chat that I haven't even looked at here. So please allow me. Now that I'm here, he does want me to make another Discord reference. So if you guys are watching the show and you want to get your questions answered, especially premium members who get preference, head on over to Discord with the link there in the show notes. But as far as switching screens here, the game itself, Eves Misi had a good game. That's something I'm watching for in New Orleans. 5 points, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 3 boards, 20 minutes. It's the steals and the blocks doing the heavy lifting there. That's what we want to see out of our young center who needs to get minutes. Carlo Matkovits, 4 minutes. I think he's out of the equation, so we don't have to worry so much there. Hawkins, 34 minutes, 17 points, 7 boards, 3 assists, 2 threes, 3 of 3 from the foul line. A big fat stat line there. He is the winner. I think the three of us, I forget who it was the other day that was kind of gambling on who would be the beneficiary. I think I said Alvarado in sort of a tongue-in-cheek just nod to one of my favorite players. He had a decent game, 1 triple, 1 and 4 assists for Jose Alvarado, but Hawkins is clearly the ad or the beneficiary here. And McCollum, 27 points, 4 boards, 4 steals, 3 threes, 4 of 6 from the foul line. Harkens back to that year he couldn't shoot free throws, but he's going to be a guy. And if you have him on your squad, I think you prepare all of your offers right now and just keep sending them out as much as you can so you can get off that ride as DeJounte Murray eventually comes back and it becomes his show. And who knows what happens with this team. I will add this, though. If McCollum somehow navigated all of this and at the end of the season had a good year, it would be kind of on brand for him. It's just not very likely. So I would definitely be making those offers. On the Portland side, I'm almost more interested in the bench sometimes with this squad. Because, like, yes, Jeremy Grant, 28 points and a monster stat line, 2 steals, 4 blocks, all sorts of goodies in his stat line. We know Jeremy Grant can be good. He can be good for 2/3 of a season. So CJ McCollum, prepare your offers and get them out there. That's your move all year long. Jeremy Grant has a good game, send an offer out. Kamara, 12 points, low-level stat line. Not really interested in that. Avdija, 11 points, 6 boards, 1 steal. You know, it's a little bit of a struggle there. Ayton, 17 and 12, 1 block. That's fine. Simons, 27 and 6, 5 threes, 6 of 6 from the foul line. You know, again, kind of the same boat as Jeremy Grant. I'm more interested in the back end of the roster. Klingon. I'm more interested in Donovan Klingon's 13 minutes than any of what I just said. 9 points, 9 boards, 2 blocks. I'm asking, can we put him in lineups consistently if we know that he's getting 13, 15, 17 minutes per game? Are we just assuming that he's going to get those 2 blocks and he's going to get something like 7 to 9 boards and who knows what else you get? But like, you're like, hey, in my deep league where I need centers, Klingon can be the guy. Fascinating stuff at the back end of the roster. And then always just wondering what Scoot Henderson's up to. It was a 2 of 12 shooting night, 9 points, 5 boards, 7 assists. Tough sledding there for Scoot. I'm not advising a buy. That's for sure. I don't think he can make it there. In the last game from yesterday, I believe, was Atlanta and OKC. So a couple on the Hawks side, probably some smaller items here. Risa Shea started 13 points. He got the steal and he got the block. This is huge for me. If he can just be somewhat okay in that area, and then they start him, and then they play him 27 plus minutes per game, I do think that he can get you low-end fantasy value. I'm talking like 150, the 150 range. And in some leagues, that matters. So interesting that he got the steal in the block. Absent that, I'm all the way out. Jalen Johnson, he had a down night, and that's fine. He'll have plenty of up nights. And by the way, you're going to notice a phenomena this year. When somebody plays the Oklahoma City Thunder, the box score falls apart because they're that good. And it really is just that. Trae Young had 10 turnovers in this game. There's your example of that. Dyson Daniels is probably one of the top stories in fantasy right now. He is still doing well. A little bit of a slowdown, not a lot. 7 and 8, 1 steal, 1 block, and no threes. So he was sub the 3. Cash counting stats of 3 steals and blocks that we want on a typical nightly basis for a player of his type, especially. We want to have that number over 3. It was at 2. And that's been the issue with him in the past. So it would have been really hard to kind of get off the Dyson Daniels ride if you had him, and many of us have had him. I didn't probably get him because I wasn't out in front on that as much as everybody else, but you probably still do have the momentum. If you want to get off the ride, if you're concerned about cash counting stats and you want to get off the ride, I think you still have a window to do that. I would just be very picky about what you're going for there. Onyeka Okongwu slowed down. And I think what you're seeing there is the reality that Okongwu has 2 gears. One's like super productive. And we see that about 20% of the time. And in the other 80% of the time, we see this sort of low volume. It's not hurting you anywhere. In some ways, it's helping you in places, but it's not the massive explosion. And again, the Oklahoma City Thunder, they're going to do that to people. In the bottom of the box, Chet Holmgren, he's damn good. 6 blocks, full stat line. 25 points, 9 boards, 4 assists, 1 steal. Any team that has a deficiency, these guys are just going to crack open like it's nothing. And this is without Hartenstein. Please. Jalen Williams got a good game going, 20 points and all sorts of fun. Maybe not as much fun as we would have liked, but Shea, absolutely bonkers. 35, 11, and 9, 3 steals, 3 blocks, 3 threes, 10 of 11 from the foul line. It's not going to be the line of the year, but it's probably the line of the year so far. And if somebody wants to correct me on that, feel free. I don't know about the rest of these guys. Caruso, watch. If you're doing the Caruso thing, he showed you why you should be considering it. 3 steals, 2 blocks, 21 minutes, nothing else for the most part there. And I think that's all we're messing around with. And people are messing around with Dort. It's going to be low-level fun for Dort and Caruso. And that's pretty much that. All right, let's get into the prior day's action. It's going to take me a quick second to get my screen to the right place here. But while we're doing that, welcome to everybody on Twitter. Welcome to everybody on YouTube. Send your questions in. We'll get to them toward the end of the show. Go to Discord, actually, is probably the preferred place. The link for Discord's in the show notes. Our premium members get the preferential treatment. So if you're a premium member, you have a better chance of getting your question answered on air. And we also have pros in there to answer questions as well. So definitely take advantage of that. Apologies for the dead air here as I get my computer going. The stat site that I'm using is not helping me out here, but we are back. Okay. Well, look at this Denver Nuggets Clippers game. We've already covered the Clippers side, but the Denver Nuggets, probably a pretty boring team to talk about because we really know what's going on there. But Jokic, I mentioned this over the weekend, I think he's in the type of shape that he might have a peak Nikola Jokic season from a fantasy perspective. He went for 41-9, 2 steals and a block, 7 threes in that game. I think he's got that look about him. I thought he was 5 to 10 pounds, maybe overweight in the early action. I believe that was the Dubai game. He looked real tan, like he was just kind of hanging out at the pool. And I thought maybe Jokic is going to be a little heavy this season. Well, no, that's not it. He looks like a tank out there that can move. He looks incredibly uncoverable is what he looks. And with the amount of help he's going to need this season, he's going to have to do it all himself. So just keep an eye on. There's a lot of Wemby mania out there. And I'm not sitting here saying that Wemby's anything different than what we thought on draft day, which is a historically good fantasy player that's putting Nikola Jokic in the rearview mirror in many ways. Statistically speaking, by quite a bit, actually. So I'm not sitting here saying, oh, go Jokic now, not Wemby. Like that whole is Wemby going to get hurt conversation is its own conversation, blah, 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 blah. But what I am saying is, like, don't forget about Nikola Jokic. If he has a peak Jokic season, it will be devastating for opposing GMs. The real story, though, in Denver is probably Christian Brown. He didn't have the big buzzy game that he had the night before or the game before, but it was good. It was real good. It was 11.7 boards, 1 steal, 2 blocks, 1 three. And here's what I'm here to tell you. I don't know if the steals and the blocks and the threes are going to continue being the thing that they've been, which moves Christian Brown from being a sub 150 player to being possibly a top 75 guy. If this keeps up in this direction, he's not going to get this many blocks and this many steals as he's had. I don't know the total numbers off the top of my head, but he's averaging a solid number of steals and blocks and threes right now. That's not continuing. It's not sustainable. But what I'm here to tell you is that nobody is taking that guy's minutes. He will play whatever Michael Malone wants him to play the rest of the way. His only limit is whatever body, like that they don't want him wearing down. He's that good. He's that good defensively, offensively for what they do in Denver and what they need him to be. He is just fine. I don't know if the steals and the blocks and threes are going to get there. I made significant bids to get Christian Brown in Fab, right in about the 150 to 1,000 out of 1,000 Fab dollar range. Nothing over the moon. I think there were some over the moon offers. I can't remember them off the top of my head, but like that's a solid pickup and should be at the top of most pickup lists or near the top, I should say, from the course of this first week of the season. He's not there anymore, I don't think, in your leagues, but great start for Christian Brown. Downstream, like Strother, I'm not mad at Strother's performance. 8 points, 2 steals, 2 threes, 16 minutes, that's fine. Peyton Watson, 12 minutes, nothing, that's not fine. But he's got 2 games under his belt. He didn't play anything in the preseason, so it's way too early to evaluate Watson. But I do think the pecking order is easily Brown way out in front by 5 miles. Strother, next with some intrigue there, because maybe he can keep cooking something up there. Peyton Watson, miles behind until he can actually show something. And I don't even know if he's going to be able to do that. Like, he's not standing out the way that he stood out last season. And then Russell Westbrook had a stinker, 0 of 8 from the field. No surprises there. 2 steals, 1 block, 19 minutes. And not hit pieces, but the media is on to the what's going on in Denver with Michael Malone and the front office over there. All right. Let's see what else we got cooking here. Looks like we've got Miami at Charlotte from over the weekend. So let's crack that open and remember what the heck our thoughts were here. We got Nikola Jovic kind of being a slow and steady option, getting significant minutes. I think if you need a low-end forward in about the 150 range, he's your guy. Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, some really weird stuff going on there early in that game where it was like, here we go again. They hadn't really taken any shots in the first quarter, and they ended up with 15 and 17 shots apiece in this game. So the shooting volume, not necessarily a question mark there. Jimmy had a big line, 26 points, 8 boards, 8 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. He didn't do well from the foul line, 11 of 17 there. So it probably masked a lot of what he did for you there, but he answered the question of, is this a bust pick? I know I had a lot of Jimmy Butler. I looked at everything that was going on with Jimmy Butler, and to me, it screamed, this is a guy that wants to prove himself. The emphasis for the Miami Heat, both in the media and internally, was that we want our guys to play a lot of games this year. I think it's a shit or get off the pot kind of a situation for Jimmy Butler in Miami, and I think he's going to cop a squat. I think he's going to sit down and play 72 games, you know, and that for Jimmy Butler is probably top 25 value, maybe better. So Jimmy Butler was going 40, almost 50 early on in draft season. And then I think the momentum started to kick in a little bit. So 40-ish for Jimmy Butler with that top 20 potential, but some risk. You don't get anything in life without some risk. Adebayo is going to be a really tough season, I think. The reality for Bam Adebayo is that he's just not able to move and do enough of the things that a, quote, franchise player needs to do. And that's going to be a tough one for him. Tyler Hero, 22 points. He kind of got off the schneid. Rozier, 19 points. And the Charlotte Hornets will do this to a box score. They'll jazz it all up and you know, let guys go off. Jaquez, 22 minutes, not really cutting it. So he's definitely a guy that's going to pop on and off of waiver wires because of the lack of statistical production. And then on the Charlotte side, LaMelo Ball, talk about victory laps. LaMelo Ball GMs, go ahead. Have at it. You guys get to have victory laps all season long until he gets hurt. And I hope he doesn't get hurt. I hope you guys have victory laps all season long, because it's fun both watching him play and also watching the box score. 27, 8, and 7 with a steal and 2 threes, 7 of 8 from the foul line, a little inefficient on the shooting, but just so full of goodies. And this is not that great for him. So have fun. If you want to get off the ride, you got plenty of ramp, I think. With each passing game, you've got plenty of ramp. You got a lot of kind of control over how you want this to go. I do think you could get a second rounder in return, no problem. So if you want to get off the ride, I think you get a second rounder no matter what. And with each passing game, you can creep up into that upper second round, back end of the first round conversation, and kind of figure out your offers at that point. Nothing really exciting after that. Trey Mann, I should not say that without saying Trey Mann's name, 14 points, 5 boards, 4 assists, 1 steal, 2 threes. As long as Brandon Miller is out, Trey Mann should be in somebody's lineup in your fantasy league. And it probably, the story goes just like that. Let's move this thing along to Boston at Detroit. And Boston at Detroit was disappointing from my Detroit Pistons bet, but that's okay. You know, they've played well. That's all I care about. Boston, the usual suspects. I think, you know, you're going to be kind of constantly looking at the bottom of this roster to see if a Peyton Pritchard can be valuable. The Sam Hausers of the world, he's been hurt. So if you picked up Sam Hauser on draft day, you might have dropped him. I dropped him in a bunch of places just to get onto the hot waiver wire pickup of the day And it's unfortunate because I do think that Hauser at some point will have this moment where it's like he's more than a three-point shooter and he will have the three-point shooting and it'll just get you a little bit of extra stuff and maybe be a top 100 guy during that span. Al Horford back on the board with a good game. It's going to be kind of alternating good games with bad games if you're Al Horford. And we move along to the Detroit side where the Jalen Duren stuff is sort of top of mind for me. He got two blocks, 7 of 7 from the field. 15 and 9. This is a good game for Jalen Duren. I want to see those blocks. It's like literally the only thing I'm looking for at Jalen Duren's box score is the blocks. Cade, big line, 4 blocks. So far, so good for Cade. Jaden Ivey, 26 points. So far, so good for Jaden Ivey. And I think, you know, Asar Thompson actually comes to mind before I get out of Detroit. I think it's probably going to be really tough sledding for Asar Thompson, whether it's if he can get cleared by the league. And they're not hurrying. They're going to take their time. I was reading somebody's deep dive on this topic, and basically other players who have been through this, the ones that had taken a couple years off, they're the ones that got clearance, and they're the ones that, you know, still had issues for the rest of their career. Anything that starts to head into this direction for Asar is going to be met with significant safeties, as it should be. So it's a sad thing. But in terms of a fantasy analysis for this year, I'm just kind of fading it now, and I probably should have faded it more. And just best of luck to Asar going forward. I think that's it. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong on Boston, Detroit, as far as the fantasy takes go. Let's get into Washington and Cleveland. Why don't we? Washington and Cleveland, the, you know, we've got the Max Strus injury, and that sort of brings into play the Caris LeVert question, as it always does. Everybody's doing well there. Evan Mobley's the guy that I've had my eyes on, even though I got Donovan Mitchell in a couple places. I feel like we were ahead on Donovan Mitchell, and I don't even want to victory lap that until like maybe the last 15 games of the season. If he's been upright, because that's really the question there. He had a massive one, 30 points, 4 steals, 6 threes. That's going to be what it's going to be all season long. Mobley though, how good can Mobley be? Like if Jared Allen, if anything happens to him, you're going to see even more from Evan Mobley. I had him projected inside the top 20. So I got a ton of Mobley on my teams, 13 and 13 with 4 assists, 2 blocks. This was actually kind of a down night for him. So I'm watching Mobley just to see how good he can be. And Darius Garland didn't get a lot of love on draft day. I had him ranked highly. We just had too many guards to go after. So I don't have him in a lot of places, just a few, 23 and 5 with 9 of 11 shooting 4 threes. So far, so good for Darius Garland. Again, this is against the Wizards, so you kind of got to take this grain with a grain of salt. And my Craig Porter pick's kind of sucking, and I don't like it. 3 minutes for Craig Porter. So down the stretch, at some point in time, you guys will remember this moment. When Craig Porter gets more than 3 minutes, you heard it here first, folks. You heard it here first. On the Wizards side, Jordan Poole, a little bit of a slowdown. Nothing too concerning. 14 and 6 in 24 minutes. So I got 3 steals, 4 threes. You're not going to complain about that line. Bilal Coulibaly, this line is not as good as it could have been. 23 points, 6 boards, 0 steals or blocks, but he had the 4 threes, 9 of 16 shooting. I think the key with Coulibaly is that he is willing to take shots and he is pushing to take shots. And he is basically pushing to say that this is his team. I don't know what kind of a claim that is, but is it Kyle Kuzma's team? Kyle Kuzma doesn't want to be in Washington. Jordan Poole, does he care? Question mark? I don't know. But Bilal Coulibaly is young and he's trying to prove himself. And he's sort of stepping into shots as if he's been given an ultra green light. That combined with the defensive stats and the three-point shooting, I think he's got top 100 the rest of the way. He shouldn't be on waiver wires, that's for sure. It's going to be messy. I think there's going to be games where you want to kick him off your team. But I think top 100 is the finish for Bilal. And he's somebody that I wanted to move up draft boards and I didn't move him up as aggressively as I should have. So I think I got him in like one spot and that's not great. Alexander Saar, 12-6 with a steal and two blocks in 25 minutes. Look, these numbers will be messy as well, but that's fine. He's, as long as he's producing in the defensive categories and he's not absolutely atrocious everywhere else, it's a win because he's just going to keep getting minutes, and that's going to be that. And they can play him without winning is one of the keys here. So Saar with an early push this season to beat expectations. A lot of people will draft rookies based on names, but when you get into intermediate and expert leagues, they shy away from these guys and they fall really far. I don't want to say Saar fell that far, and he was getting drafted above my projections for him. But I did actually take a stab in a couple spots on that sort of what if factor, where you kind of throw caution to the wind and even caution your own rankings and say, hey, I'll take the young guy on a bad team that can possibly jump out of the gym and block a bunch of shots. So Washington, I think they're a little low key interesting. And then JV with his 10-8 and a steal. If you need a big man that doesn't do much, but might give you low-end big man stats, he's probably going to be on and off the wire much of the year. Let's see what's up next. We got Oklahoma City and Chicago. Now, Chicago we haven't talked about, so let's get into that game real quick. I think my takeaway from Chicago so far this season is that Zach LaVine's bouncy. So there's that. And that's going to kind of slow down. If you wanted Zach LaVine to be a thing, or probably not Zach LaVine, if you wanted Josh Giddey to be a thing, if you wanted Kobe White to be a thing, Zach LaVine being bouncy is going to delay that. And that's fine because both of those players, they're going to do just fine this year. I don't know that Giddey's going to hit expectations. If he slides because LaVine is good this year, you might see him go from top 60 to top 70 or top 80. I don't think that's going to be a problem. Kobe White, just 9 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 3 of 12 shooting, 3 of 6 from the foul line. This is the game to go get Kobe White with. While Zach LaVine is bouncy and looks pretty good, you know, kind of not peak LaVine, not even a cut below, but maybe a cut below that, which is plenty athletic, by the way. But he looks quick. He looks bouncy. He looks like he's got good form on his shot. These are all good things. I think LaVine is going to punish everybody who faded him. And then it's just a question of how long he can do it for before things either slow down for him because the injuries start to catch up and he's not quite as bouncy. But Kobe White, he is not going to have a problem this season. He is going to just chug along. And if it's slow while LaVine is good, that's fine. He's got a top 50 finish in him, probably like a 75% chance at it. If he slides, it's like Giddey. You know, it might be top 60. It might be top 70. You're not worried about any of that. I bet you somebody that drafted Kobe White that's not really in tune with what Kobe White is, probably pretty worried after that one. So that's the time you want to float that offer. Bucellis, 7 minutes. He's not really playing right now. Jalen Smith, a slower outing. It's not what you wanted to see after some decent indicators early on. Jalen Smith, just 4.6 boards, 11 minutes. But again, this is against the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Chicago Bulls had 95 points in this game. Think especially early on when the Thunder are just miles better than everybody because they can just walk into the arena and just mow a team down, and the poor Chicago Bulls are still trying to figure it out. You know, I think you might be dismissive of box scores, you know, on these swing players. If you took Jalen Smith hoping to get 125 value out of him in a deeper league as a backup center, as many people did, this isn't the game to measure with. So I didn't drop Jalen Smith really at all. I don't think I dropped him anywhere. We'll see, though. He's this kind of outcome. If Billy Donovan's doing that thing where he's only playing certain guys certain minutes and there's not much to be said about that, then Jalen Smith could be on the chopping block sooner rather than later. A shout out to all of our podcast listeners. We put a lot of time and effort into YouTube and into Discord and Twitter. But our good old-fashioned podcast listeners, we want to thank you guys for listening. And if you like what you hear, please, at any point in time, drop us a 5-star review. And also get into Discord because we're going to be doing a ton of stuff in Discord here pretty soon. Okay, let's get out of the Chicago box score and let's get into Memphis and Orlando. I have a feeling there's a good amount of stuff to talk about in here that we haven't really hit so far. Orlando, I think Kentavious Caldwell Pope was interesting. A little up and down start for him. Two steals and a block. So he didn't completely go to sleep, but it was a terrible stat line otherwise. So I think an up and down start there. I'm not ready to weigh in on Banchero and kind of what he's got going on. And Franz Wagner has been hitting three-point shots. So I think it's tempting early to say that Franz Wagner is going to be a win of a pick this year. He's a safe pick. So I don't know that there's a lot of like controversy or winners or losers here, but so far so good for Franz Wagner. And he had 23 points with 4 threes, 7 boards, 3 assists, 2 steals. So a nice enough start there. Pardon me. Elsewhere, you know, Mo Wagner is low key interesting. He just gets the low minutes and he gets productive in those low minutes. I don't know. That's the fantasy nerd in me just trying to nerd out and bring up something that's not really that important. Suggs had a good game. 21 points, 4 steals, 1 block, 5 threes, all sorts of goodies. He pops off every once in a while. And if he starts popping off like this more often, I think we'll give him a little bit more attention for what he's doing. Jaren Jackson Jr. got back. Low end line. First game back. Really don't care much there. Zach Edey, though. 7 points, 1 board, 13 minutes. I was seeing Edey come off the board at 50, folks. 50, 5-0 in fantasy leagues. I think I had him outside of the 150 or pretty close, and it was a struggle to get him there. It was to basically say, I don't know what he can do. Maybe he can do something. This might be a death knell to his fantasy value because this is the kind of thing that can't happen. When you're not also bringing it, maybe there's some upside beyond that. Maybe I'm selling that a little bit short, but this one was a kind of a death knell game, I think, for his early season value. Marcus Smart, you know, in his 21 minutes had 9 points, 2 steals and 1 block. You know, this game wasn't very close. You know, Memphis came out and walloped them. So that is sort of, you know, in play here, something to just think about when evaluating this box score. Ja Morant, his injury status, we'll kind of be tracking that throughout the day. Doesn't seem too bad. Santi Aldama, 22 points, 4 threes, 7 boards, 5 assists. I think he's somebody that's going to probably have another good week, maybe two. And then I think we're going to have some questions about whether Aldama can hang with the Grizzlies at full strength. One of the guys that I really want to talk about, Scottie Pippen Jr. You know, I wanted to keep pushing Scotty up the ranks. He's been one of my guys for a while, and he's doing it again. 11 points, 5 boards, 12 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 1 3 in 23 minutes. This is what he does. He just gets in there and does things, and he does it in a way that's generally conducive to winning. And there's a reason that they gave him the contract, and I'm surprised that it took as long as it did. All good things to say about his game. If this is going to be the bottom, this is going to be a nice little run for him, because as guys get hurt in Memphis, he's going to be the guy that just gets better and better and better. If I had to project, he's probably a lock to be inside the 150. That's helpful. Because if you have a guy like that on your roster and he can have upside beyond that, it's going to take a bit for him to get there. You know, this is a stacked Memphis Grizzlies team for the most part, though they're already facing some attrition. But, you know, in their decision-making, like if they wanted to try to do something to move Marcus Smart, if they wanted to, you know, get rid of a piece or like add a piece, whatever the equation may be, and they look down at their bench and they see Scottie Pippen Jr., they say, hey, we have a good backup point guard, so we don't need to fortify at that position. We could go get aggressive elsewhere. That could lead to more minutes for Scottie Pippen Jr. Jay Huff, quick name check, make sure that is a Jay. 18 points, 3 threes. I don't know. You got to be in a 30-team league before you got to consider something like that. All right. I think that's a good amount from that game. Let's see what we get here at the Minnesota-Toronto game so I can scream, Mogbo! I don't want to wake the neighbors, so to speak. But the Mogbo stuff is massive, guys. I can't sit here and say that Mogbo is going to be guaranteed to just be great in fantasy leagues. But what Mogbo has done is put down some film that to me is truly kind of spectacular. It's spectacular in this even kind of funny way in that he is out there kicking the ball around the yard, you know, like a rookie, just doing his thing. But he is by far one of the most athletic players that I've seen in the NBA. He makes Scotty Barnes look smaller. And he has the quickness, probably more quickness than a Scotty Barnes. You know, he's able to get out there and create deflections. He's able to get out there and get rebounds. He's able to go out there and get steals and blocks. On Friday against Philly, he had 12 points, 9 boards, 5 assists, 3 blocks, 2 steals. It ain't going to be that good. It wasn't the very next game. 9 minutes, 2 points, 3 boards, 2 steals. Like, what? That's not good. But I tell you, this is the kind of player that, who knows, maybe it's not good enough for like the next month. Who knows, maybe this month is the good month. You know, maybe Kelly Olynyk comes back, you know, and that complicates things. And, you know, they're not yet in the full tank, and they're just not going Mogbo. I totally get that. If you're looking for a big swing, this is the guy. I can't tell you it's going to happen tomorrow. I can't tell you it's going to happen the next day. I can't tell you anything. He had 9 minutes on Saturday. Got you 2 steals. But as far as the development of a player, Darko Rajakovic seems to really love this guy. Ryan Wolstadt of the Toronto Sun, who's been covering this team for 15 years, I'm paraphrasing, but in the preseason said this guy deserves a rotation spot. He has been nothing but good when on the floor since then. He is very raw. They're encouraging him to make plays. Like, he's not getting yanked when he catches the short roll and sees that nobody's covering him and decides to take 2 steps toward the hoop and fling up a floater that barely went in the vicinity of the hoop. Like, nobody's like, why'd you do that, man? They're like, do it again, please. And he stands out in the corner, spaced out as a wing, and teams aren't doing anything to defend him because they're not afraid at all of him shooting. And he's still taking the ball and driving and making good things happen. He's got this weird thing where he can't dribble near anybody, but he can dribble on the fast break pretty well. He can pass pretty well. He is going to be a player that if they want to tank and develop, he's going to be the guy that they do it with. And if they go full Mogbo, and when you get a look at him on film and you just see kind of what a menace he is defensively, what he can do. I mean, Tyrese Maxey tried a 3-point jump shot on him that he's been shooting in the league the entire time, and Mogbo just swallowed the thing. And you could almost see, like, Maxey's like, I didn't know a human could do that. So Mogbo is going to be an adventure. I could be completely, you know, over the moon and just get zeros the rest of the way. But in terms of taking a big swing and just seeing how it goes and trusting your eyes and trusting the guiding principle of that this team probably wants to lose and this is a perfect guy to develop on the court and see what you can get out of him and get those reps in. I think the combination is tantalizing. So I am extremely excited. I made a bunch of bids to get Mogbo. I got all the Mogbo. So we'll see how it goes. Let's see how we're doing on time. I think we need to get to some user questions here, viewer questions here. Well, we're going to be on with Rick in a little bit, probably about 2 hours from now, 1 p.m. Pacific time. We're going to be covering a ton of this stuff. So we will not leave you behind on all of the fantasy information. I don't think we're going to get further back into the weekend and Friday action So we'll just have to live with that. We'll get to some user questions here from Discord. Jason Yu asks, 12-team Ninecat head-to-head just got offered Jalen Johnson and Mike Conley for Brandon Ingram and Dyson Daniels. Thoughts? My thought is you should run over to the accept button and take Jalen Johnson. Just stop what you're doing. Go over there, take Jalen Johnson. I am not worried about that one at all. We got another question here from Docluke, D-O-C-L-U-K-E, 56. Should I drop Horford for Sohan and drop Amen for Bilal or Braun? Should I drop Horford for Sohan and drop Amen for Bilal or Braun? Sorry for the pause there. I would drop Horford for quite a few players, but I don't think Sohan would be the one. I know Sohan has played well to start. I know that they're generally happy with him in San Antonio, so that gives you the kind of the context for this. But at the same time, I would probably hang on to Horford and use him where appropriate if you have that kind of flexibility. If you don't, for whatever reason, if the game's played, the game's off, the bad games, if those are hitting you hard, for whatever reason, you could move on Horford and I wouldn't lose any sleep. I just think in this one here, you could probably manage this, hang on to Horford, and then see if you could do better than Sohan on a pickup. Because Sohan, I mean, the fantasy gold isn't there. The steals and the blocks and the threes, you know, they're just not there. It's unclear if there's going to be even anything to talk about if he really starts to kind of fade with the production. He's had a good couple of games, but not there just yet. The Amen thing is interesting. He had a bad game. They had a bad game in Houston. Alperen Şengün owners aren't like bailing, you know, because of that game. I don't think Amen Thompson GM should be worried about that on their end. I have Amen projected very high. Very, 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 very high this season. And I was not able to get as much of that as I would have liked because I have such a concentration of value in steals that it made it harder to pick up Amen Thompson in all the places I wanted to. I wanted him on every team. He's that good. As far as a drop for Bilal or Brown, I think the answer is no. Actually, I shouldn't even have said it like that. The answer is no. It doesn't feel good. And you're going to have some of these bad games as they work things out in Houston. But especially on an Ime Udoka coach team, who's going to value what Amen Thompson does? It's just a matter of time. Certain things need to sort themselves out. And the question of what they're doing with Jalen Green, who, by the way, is sizzling, and it's not surprising. Show me the Morey asked me a question on Twitter. I didn't get your answer there because of the TOS and all that stuff. But like, basically, that's, Yeah, you guys have a player that's very good, and it's going to be very interesting to see what Houston does and how that all plays out because of the defense, which we've talked about all the time. Brandon Barassa, hopefully I got that right. Would you guys drop Capella to pick up Saar or Ben Simmons? So Ben Simmons is an auto no. And I get it. You know, he's been a little noisy with the stats. You know, we do have jokes here where we have Ben Simmons, anybody, you know, blah, blah, blah. So he's at least got our attention. This is not a bad question by any means. The typical reports out of whatever camp is his camp, the team camp, oh, he can play again. No, we're just not there. I mean, even if he was able to cross the threshold of playing very well, then we would be at the injury threshold. And the two things, I mean, you can't have it all. You got to have one of those boxes, or you got to, if you're in Ben Simmons' case, you got to have both of those boxes checked. But you can't be questioned. We can't question your play as well as your injury risk. Saar, I think, is interesting here. Here's the thing with Capella. This is almost a team's setup kind of a question. If you need Capella to be good on your fantasy squad, if you need the stability of what Capella provides, if you can deal with the free throw issue, and Capella is good for your team, I don't know that I would go try to ride the SAR wave. I think the SAR wave probably lands right where the Capella waiting pool, to finish the metaphor. That's where this ends for SAR. And the, I guess if you wanted to kind of play this out a little further in terms of being pro SAR, you might say, oh, he's not likely to be as injured, you know, or he doesn't have as much injury risk as a Capella has. So I think though, if you've got the center position sort of nailed down and Capella is sort of a nice little backup for you, if Capella is contributing to your team sometimes for whatever reason, based on your various strategies, and you want to go for an upside guy, I think SAR in a really good scenario, like a really good scenario, might do something like top 70 in a 9-cat league and not carry the risk that Capella has. So I think maybe you could squint and find a strategy there, but it really does come down to that team build. Again, we're going to be back in a couple hours with Rick Kamla for more of a lineups focused show. And we'll also be talking about the entire league. So there's a lot to go through. I mean, we could probably be on air for 4 hours. Maybe that's something we should look into. But just a lot to cover. So come back at 1 p.m. for more. Question from Tino. Is Colin Sexton a hold or a drop? Colin Sexton is most definitely a hold. Utah is going to be messy all season long. I mean, it just kind of goes without saying with those guys. And he's been consistent within that mess in the past. So I don't think that there's really any pretext here to consider a drop. It's going to be later on in the season if things get really bad for those guys. And they got, you know, Keontae George is out there trying to figure himself. And there's a lot of things going out there on the floor that precipitate that inconsistency among that bunch. So I would just say Colin Sexton, significant hold, because he's a top 75 guy. You know, he can even go top 60 really easily. And it's not going to take a lot of change of trajectory. Like, he is what he is, and they have used him the way that they have used him. And I don't see any scenario where they use him differently. So I think Colin Sexton is definitively a hold. Can. Thoughts on Kyle Kuzma? That's the name of the user, by the way. Can. Thoughts on Kyle Kuzma's season value in 10-team head-to-head 9-cat league? I think it's going to get bumpy. One thing I didn't think was great about Kyle Kuzma is that he looked about 10 pounds, if not 15 pounds, overweight in the preseason. That's not great. I mean, you're already playing on a bad team. You're already sort of like, if I'm here, great. If I'm somewhere else, great. It doesn't look like you care. Yeah, I'll leave it at that. Aside from that, in a 9-cat league, the turnover issue starts to become an issue. And then just whatever you think about the end of the season, it's like even getting to the end of the season, is he going to be able to produce at a 10-team level? I mean, he's probably outside of the top 100 this season. And in a 10-team situation, I would say this. Try to get, if you have Kyle Kuzma on your team, find it whenever the good games hit. Just try to move them. That'll be the best play there. Okay, well, let's go. Reba0922. Would you drop DiVincenzo or Avdija for Josh Hart or Nick Richards in a 10-team 9-cat where you're punting both free throws and threes? Okay, you're doing your homework. I like it. If you're punting three pointers, DiVincenzo is somebody you should try to trade, because there's value there, and there's going to be more value as the year goes on. So if you drop him now, you're definitely leaving some cash on the table. I think he's got top 60 potential, even though this in your build, this really hurts, you know, that his value is so invested in 3-point shooting. It hurts, but you got to find a way to extract that value without dumping it to the wire. Avdija, I think he fits your build. I would not drop him. Nick Richards is going to have a problem pretty soon whenever Mark Williams gets back. That's going to be a problem for him. I think you should not add Nick Richards. And then Josh Hart's a little interesting here. I just think that the New York thing's got a little bit of oddness to it. I wonder if Josh Hart's the odd man out. Maybe on Josh Hart, but I actually think you should not do these moves. And I think you should try to work DiVincenzo on the trade circuit and hang on to Avdija. It's funner to go for the ad, but I think the hold here is the right play. All right, we're going to do rapid fire for the rest of these questions. Rapid fire for the rest of these questions. Oh boy. Actually, no. No, I'm sorry. I think we're getting out of here. Yep, looks like we're getting out of here. And that's going to do it. Okay. Thank you guys for putting up with some of the complexities of doing a live show with so many stats floating around and so many players. I got to click around all these different pages. And I appreciate your guys' patience. We will be back at 1 p.m. today, 1:15-ish, I believe, for the weekly lineup show with Rick Kamla. And we will be taking viewer questions in that one as well and covering all of the things going on. And literally, as I looked at the note sheet here, we have 5 gazillion things to talk about in that show that weren't covered in this show. And hopefully we got to a lot of your fantasy questions and information in this show as well. So thank you, Andre, as usual, for producing a wonderful show. Thank you guys out there for all of your support. It's been amazing. It's been another record-breaking season here at Sports Ethos. Thank you so much for all of that. And that's going to do it for us. This has been Fantasy NBA Today, presented by Bet Online, a Sports Ethos presentation. Till next time, ladies and gentlemen, be well.